reading to you from the 5th chapter of 1 John, and with the 10th verse. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 46 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Well, friends, things are truly happening in our country today. People are showing the American flag. People are beginning hugging each other. And even Democrats and Republicans are hugging each other, which is the miracle of all miracles. Because our country is in a problem. Our president, bless his heart, he has proved that he is a leader. And you know what the secret is, dear friends? Not that he's a Republican. That's not the secret. The secret is he knows Jesus. His staff, many of his staff knows Jesus. That's the secret. That's a whole secret. And I've been praying, Lord, bring Christ back to the White House and bring dignity to the White House and to our country. And he's doing it. Well, friends, listen, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for bringing America back where it should be. Oh God, how I pray that the rest of the world will say, listen, they've got something that we don't have, and surely, Lord, those Muslims, and they don't know what we're talking about. They have so much hate in their heart for America, and for the Jews in Jerusalem. And so, Lord, they cannot be right until they get right with you. Pray, Lord, that you'll take care of our country, take care of our leaders. Bless those who've lost loved ones back there, and I pray that you'll be with them in a special way. And we do ask, Lord, that you will bless America. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll take care of all of our spiritual and physical and financial needs tonight. Bless those who are sick, those who are in need. Father, honor your word. Lift up Jesus. Hide me behind the cross. Save that sinner on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you don't mind, dear friends, I'm going to preach on a scripture that is my favorite, favorite scripture. When I sign my books or autographs or things like that, I always put John 3:16 down below my name, because that was a verse of scripture that God used on me to cause me to fall upon my knees and cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. I suppose this is one of the most familiar verses in the entire Bible. And I suppose that this is about the first verse of scripture that most children learn when attending Sunday school. My reason for loving this verse of scripture was because it cleared up many things in my mind the morning that I was saved. Reverend Tom Barrett explained to me about Nicodemus and Jesus when they had their meeting, but I too didn't understand what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus. He then went on to John 3:16 and said, Preacher, What does this mean? He told it to me this way. For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know what I told that preacher? I must have shocked him. I told the preacher that was not true. He said, "Why do you say that, Cecil?" I said, "Well, if God loved me so much, why did he take my baby sister, my mom, and my dad by death, and I end up losing my family?" You see, the thing is, I could not understand how God could love an alcoholic. I know some of you listening tonight are asking yourself the same thing. How could God love me? I at one time was unfaithful to my wife. I tell lies many times. I've done despicable, dishonest things. And I go on and on. Well, that is the miracle of God's grace. You see, after we realize, and it says in Romans 3:23, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, after we realize that we truly are hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners, and that we cannot save ourselves, so we must have someone pay it for us, because there's no way you can pay for your sin. Well, as I was listening to that great man of God, I was saying within myself, "Oh, how I would love to believe that God loved me." Beloved, I know some of you are saying that. How could God love me? I've been dealing with a young man over there quite some time who's really honestly having the assurance problem. One day he thinks he's saved. One day he thinks he's not saved. I told him to go to a Christian psychologist, a Christian counselor. He's got some things that's got to be worked out. Now, you know God doesn't want that young man to go to hell. And in my heart, I really believe he is saved, but he's just having so many emotional problems. And I pray that God will help him because he really would like to serve the Lord. Now, God's Holy Spirit just kept tugging at my heart that morning. And I knew, listen now, this may shock you. I knew that morning, if I didn't repent of my sins and invite Christ in my heart, I would die and go to hell. No ifs, no ands, no buts. That morning, I was thinking about the mess that I did. I was 30 years old. What a messed up life. I'd had every opportunity in the world to be successful. I owned a business. I made lots of money. I was superintendent of a big corporation, and I made lots of money, but I drank it up, just like this young alcoholic lady told me the other day. "Cecil, I've got everything in the whole world, a home, a beautiful home, a swimming pool, a wonderful husband, and two beautiful children. I've got security. And wine is taking it all away from me." Oh, friends, listen. You do not know the curse of alcoholism and the curse of drugs. Well, this is a verse of scripture that has been whispered to a loved one on their deathbed many times. Have you ever noticed that these athletic events, like on baseball game, basketball game, football game, somebody will hold up a John 3:16 card? It's somebody that wants somebody to be saved. And maybe they're not strong enough. Maybe they're not a good enough witness. So they're using John 3:16 to get people to think. Well, I tell you, it's the most powerful verse of scripture in the whole Bible. Well, this is why John 3:16 is a text for all of us. It contains love enough for all of us. It contains sacrifice enough for all of us. Here Jesus is a sinless man that came down from heaven, who became sin for us, so that we could be saved and go to heaven. Let me tell you a story. You may have heard this story. I heard it from somebody. I don't know who I heard it from, but it's a beautiful story. These two young brothers lived on a farm that raised corn and cattle. The father left and told the boys to be sure that the cattle did not get in the corn. Well, this little boy went out to play and didn't pay attention to the cattle, and they got into the corn and raised havoc. When the father got home, he noticed the cattle and the corn, and he came in and said, "Which one of you boys are responsible for this?" And the youngest brother said, "It was me, Dad." His dad went into the bathroom, got his razor strap, and began spanking the little guy. The older brother said, here, whip me, not my brother." Friends, that's exactly what Jesus did for you and for me. He went and gave his life a ransom for us. Though he was sinless, he took our place on the cross. Yes, John 3:16 contains enough sacrifice for all of us. You know, this razor strap deal, I don't know about you, but see, my daddy back in those days, he shaved with a straight-edge razor. And that old razor strap, before he shaved, he'd put that thing in, he'd whip that razor back and forth and got it sharp, and then he'd shave. Well, many times he had to use that on me. Oh, today that's considered child abuse. See, that's why God puts a little padding on our backside, so it won't hurt us. Oh, I believe that a person, when a child is disobedient, they need to be spanked, but not beaten. Oh, I'm not for child abuse, not at all. See, John 3:16 contains invitations enough for all of us. You remember Saul of Tarsus? He was out killing Christians and putting them in jail, and he was just raising havoc. Well, one day, he was going on the road to Damascus to go down and get a bunch more Christians and abuse them. Ha ha! God knocked old Saul of Tarsus to his knees and cried out, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" Well, that day, Saul of Tarsus became one of the greatest Christians the world has ever known. He literally turned the world upside down for Jesus. Many of the books of the New Testament was penned by Saul of Tarsus, who later was changed his name and changed to Paul. And the Lord told him how much he was going to suffer for him. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was thrown in jail. Well, here he was put in jail, and guess what he did? After the Lord shook the bars and the doors open, this little old jailer come running in there. Man, he was scared. He thought they'd all gone, and he was fixed to take his sword and kill himself. But he saw they were all there. "Now listen, Paul," they said, "good sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." What a wonderful invitation. Not only did that jailer give his heart to Christ, clean up the wounds and the hurts on him, he took him to his home, that Paul and Silas might tell his family about Jesus. They gave their hearts to Christ, and at midnight, there, oh, Paul and Silas were out there baptizing his family. You remember Zacchaeus, the crooked tax collector? He'd heard that Jesus was coming to town, and because he was so small in stature, that he got up in a sycamore tree and was looking down, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Zacchaeus, I've got to go to your house." And there Zacchaeus gave his heart to Christ, and then he repaid all the people that he had swindled. You know, even the Jews didn't like the tax collectors. I don't think too many people in America like IRS today. Well, anyway, that's beside the point. Yes, John 3:16 contains enough invitation for every creature on this earth. Now, friends, it's so hard for so many people. Now, my mom was just a good person, good person all of her life until she died. And yet she got saved in a little old Methodist church out of Duford, Oregon. You know, all the girls, they got saved. All but one of them that I know of got saved there. And then I led her older sister, who was 80-some years old, to the Lord later on in a rest home. Well, how long is the life that he promises when he said, I've given to you life eternal? Well, according to my way of figuring it out, time without end. You know, this is cute. I was a baby Christian when I heard a preacher explaining how long eternity was. He said a little bird took off from New York City, flew across the Atlantic to the Rock of Gibraltar, and he took a peck at that big rock. He flew all the way back to New York City, dropped the piece of rock, flew back across the Atlantic, took another peck at the rock, and flew back to New York. When there was nothing left of that huge rock, that will be the beginning of eternity. Friends, that blew my mind. As I said before, John 3:16 contains love enough for all of us. Let's do it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have eternal life. But let me ask you this question. Let's supposing that God did not love the world. We would be without any hope. There'd be no purpose for living. Remember I told you about a friend of mine that said, well, I tell you, Cecil, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in God. And I believe when you die, you go to, you're dead. That's it. And I told him, I said, buddy boy, don't you wish that's all there was to it? No. Not only is there life eternal in heaven, but there's a life eternal in hell. There's no way out, beloved. And don't give me that stuff. Well, I can't serve a God that would send a man to hell. You're not serving a God that sends a man to hell. God sends no one to hell. You yourself send yourself by unbelief. Well, what does it say, God so loved the world? You say, no matter what I've done in my life. That's right. No matter what you've done. No matter what your position is in life, you might be a ditch digger, a red cap, a servant, a waitress, no matter what. Now, these are hard-working people, but they're not executives, and they don't own corporations. Doesn't make any difference to God, because he loves you all just the same. No matter how worthless we feel, isn't that something? Isn't that terrific? This sacrifice is enough for all of us, that he gave his only begotten Son. The birth in Bethlehem is in these words. The sinless life of Jesus are in these words. The death of Jesus are in these words. And the resurrection of Jesus are in these words. You see, God loved, moved people, moved Christ to come into the earth and to die for sinners. The Lamb of God sacrificed for every blessed one of us. He cleanses us from all sin. I read in 1 John 7:9, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Part of our sins? No, friends, all of our sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, listen, washed from all of our sins by the blood. And not only that, what does he do with our sins when he washes it away? He tosses into a sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us our sins in his blood. The blood erases all our sin. Hey, friend, this blood is a spot cleanser. It'll clean every sin. There's nothing that he can't clean in his blood. John 3:6, the invitation is enough for all of us, that whosoever believeth on him, whosoever is a word for all of us, black, white, brown, red, short, tall, fat, skinny, rich, poor, that means anyone who will accept Christ as their personal Savior. Boy, that's universal, international. Now, I want you to write your name in this text and believe. For God so loved, put your name in that. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever of them should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, that life is long enough for all of us. Should not perish, but have eternal life. Our natural lifespan is 70 to 80 years old. But everlasting is far greater. Now, should have my coffee in here then, shouldn't I? Then here's a message for all of us. How will you respond? All who respond in faith receive eternal life. Friends, I'd like to ask you, what is your choice? You know, friends, I have no idea how many precious people I have introduced to Christ over the years. Using John 3:16, and that's exactly what it did. I know there's been we've led a whole lot of people to Christ. The other day, by the way, Wilma Wells, who was Mary Maritsky's daughter, and Wilma has been in a wheelchair for a year. She went to surgery the other day. She's 77 years old. She went into surgery and had a hip operation. And I talked to her daughter, Claudia. Years ago, I was over at Wilma Wells one day, and Claudia and her husband were here from Kentucky. And we got to talking, and I played the organ for them, and something was said, and she said, well, I wished I knew I was a Christian. And right then and there, I sat down and went over to Plan of Salvation. Claudia and her husband, we knelt there, and they gave their hearts to Christ. They're growing like a weed in Jesus. I talked to Susan last week, the alcoholic lady I introduced to Christ. I talked to Susan. And I'm telling you, she's so happy she don't know what to do. She's about to burst, saved and satisfied. Talked to a converted drug addict and an alcoholic who we were responsible for coming to Christ. We met them on a cruise ship many years ago. Today they're happy in Jesus. Yes, friends, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever of them should not perish, but have eternal life. Beloved, listen to me. Listen to what I've got to say. You might be a churchgoer. You might even be a deacon. You might even be a preacher. And yet, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God has revealed to your heart that you do not know Christ personally. Oh, you know about him, and in your own fleshly thing, you love him. But you've got to know him in your heart. People do not want to confess that they're sinners. But we all have sinned. Now, just remember that. I'm not calling you out and saying you're a bad person. Neither is God. He's just saying you've all sinned. And the thing that you're going to have to do is repent of your sins. Excuse me. You're going to have to tell God you're sorry. Now, that's not too hard a job. And then recognize that Jesus came onto this sinful earth for you and for me. There's no greater love letter in the whole world than John 3:16. I want you to look at it, apply it to yourself, and can say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. Shoot, I've been going to church for 25 years. I recall one day a woman called me from the broadcast many years ago, told me that she was having some problems, and said, if you ever get down to my part of town, come visit me. I came visit her. I sat down on the piano and I played some music, some hymns, and we sang some hymns. She told me how she felt. She said, Cecil, I don't have peace with God. I said, but you can today. We'd out there, and that dear lady invited Christ into her heart. Been going to a church down on Broadway for years, but no one ever talked to her about her soul. Friends, I'm talking to you tonight about your soul, not where you go to church. I'm talking about where are you going to spend eternity. And you tonight know. You know whether you're saved or lost. Well, what do you want to do? You want to continue being lost? You want to be continued being heartsick and be a loser? Or would you like to have sweet peace? The peace that only Jesus can give. He said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart tonight, I want you to bow your head to me right now. Don't pray this if you don't mean it, but if you mean it, bow your head to me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write to ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care what denomination you're affiliated with. I'm concerned whether I'll see you in heaven. Now, if I can help you spiritually, please call me tonight, will you? Oh, friends, listen. It's not that difficult. See, he changes you from the inside. He gives you, takes that heart of stone out, gives you a heart of flesh. Oh, I tell you, I've known him for 46 years, and I highly recommend Jesus to anyone who would trust him. You give me a call tonight if I can help you. 303-471-8534.